From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues the second message on the theme of doing the impossible through faith, part of this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Here we'll see how ordinary people achieved great victories by faith in God's promises. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Speak What He Teaches. The text is found in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 12. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Many a true servant of the Lord is slow of speech, and when called upon to plead for his Lord, he is in great confusion, lest he should spoil a good cause by his bad advocacy. In such a case, it is well to remember that the Lord made the tongue which is so slow, and we must take care that we do not blame our Maker. It may be that a slow tongue is not so great an evil as a fast one, and fewness of words may be more of a blessing than floods of verbiage. It is also quite certain that real saving power does not lie in human rhetoric with its tropes and pretty phrases and grand displays. Lack of fluency is not so great a lack as it looks. If God be with our mouth and with our mind, we shall have something better than the sounding brass of eloquence or the tinkling cymbal of persuasion. God's teaching is wisdom. His presence is power. Pharaoh had more reason to be afraid of stammering Moses than of the most fluent talker in Egypt, for what he said had power in it. He spoke plagues and deaths. If the Lord be with us in our natural weakness, we shall be girt with supernatural power. Therefore, let us speak for Jesus boldly, as we ought to speak.
To follow and to receive.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing these studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns returns to the theme of achieving the impossible through faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, known as the Faith's Hall of Fame, the key phrase is by faith. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, what these Old Testament saints accomplished was not by their own strength, but by their faith in God, by laying hold of the great promises God had given them. The text for this message is found in verses 35 through 38. A prominent feature of the passage is the conflicts encountered by God's people as they sought to live and work for Him. Sometimes they fought individual foes, sometimes the battle was against other nations. Whatever the opposition, victory was achieved through faith in God. Now Dr. Cairns continues this theme of achieving the impossible through faith.
From verse 32 to the first half of verse 35, or really the first line and a half of verse 35, you have one constant theme. I have called it achieving the impossible through faith. You can see very clearly how that in those verses there are great things being wrought by faith, quenching the violence of fire, escaping the edge of the sword, women receiving their dead raised to life, or women receiving their dead by means of a resurrection. Then there's a sudden change. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Here he launches on a passage that deals with suffering rather than what the world would call success or overcoming. Surely these people were overcoming, but it was of a spiritual nature. They were tortured. They were beaten. They were murdered. Many had to hide in dens and caves of the earth. Paul says the world wasn't worthy of them in their hour of suffering. And I think that those verses down to verse 38 speak of bearing the unbearable through faith in Christ. And then he tops the whole thing off at the end of the chapter, verse 39 and 40, when he speaks of the Old Testament and the New Testament saints all gathered together, and the family of God is complete through faith. Our usual experience is that whatever we do as Christians, it's against the backdrop of declension. That's why such statements in the Bible as we have been reading about the conflicts of God's people are so encouraging to us. You see, if you only were to read about revivals, and not that revivals are without their controversies, they're certainly not, and their conflicts, they're not. But if you were only to read about people who were striding the earth like giants, and they never seemed to have any conflict, and then you had to go out and face the real world today with all the conflict, you would say, the Bible has nothing for me. But the Bible is a book of reality. And here are real men facing real enemies, fighting real battles, and their lot is cast in a day of real declension and real apostasy. And yet, by the power of God, they saw the Lord do things against all the human opposition, against all the satanic opposition. They saw the Lord do things. You see, we today have got to see apostasy for what it is. It's declension against God and from God. We are living in a day when the virulent hatred of the world against Christ is reaching new proportions of open and bitter expression. We're living in a day when the very professing church is rotten to the core. When apostasy has invaded to the highest positions in the great denominations of Christendom. We're living in a day when the name of Jesus Christ is being blasphemed, when the cause of God is being opposed, when the people of God are being opposed, and when the souls of men are being lured to hell by apostates. We're living in such a day. We ought not, first of all, to be surprised. Second, we ought not to be despondent. And need I say it? I've said it so often. Maybe I should say it again. We ought not to hide behind the coward's notion and say, well, these things are prophesied. We can't expect anything better. We'll sit back with holy hands held up and rub our hands and put sackcloth on our heads and wait for the rapture and say we're going to see nothing. It's not biblical. You can wait for the coming of Christ. I hope you are looking for the coming of Christ. But wait for the coming of Christ, and while you wait, do battle for God and expect God to give you victory. The Lord bless us, whatever the declension. Our aim has got to be the testimony and the glory of the Lord in a day of declension. If there's one message that comes out through all these verses that we have read this morning, and especially, I say, these verses, true of the whole chapter, but here you've got it all concentrated. If there's one thing that comes out, it is that whatever the day of declension, whatever the opposition, we have to have an aim for the testimony of the Lord, and an aim that will glorify the Lord in the day of apostasy, no matter what the cost. That cost may be great. Remember what Jeremiah was told as he set out in his ministry? He was just a young fellow. In fact, he said, I'm only a babe. This is one of the strongest sendings forth that God ever gave to a man. The Lord told him right from the word go, verse 18 of chapter 1, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls. Now then, watch this. Against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Five times he gives this word. I have set you against those people. Notice what he says. You are a defense city. You're a brazen wall. They are going to come against you. They are going to oppose you. They're going to hurl their darts at you. They're going to apply their battering rams to you. They're going to sling their stones at you. They're going to bring up the big armaments against you. Their armies are going to seek to force a breach in your testimony. You are set against them. Think of that for a young man being sent forth in the work of God. If you're ever going to do a work for God, you be prepared for the opposition of hell. And that opposition may come, as in Jeremiah's case, through the people of your own land. I don't want to get away off the track here. There is, I think, a natural feeling inbuilt in people of nationalism. I think that it has many positive and good and sustainable objectives. And I don't really find any sympathy for these liberal one-worlders who want to play down anybody's love for their own nation. I think that's totally without foundation in Scripture. Sometimes it's hard to look beyond your love of your nation. Jeremiah loved his nation, and see that the people of your own nation are against you and your God and his Christ. That's the big trouble in America today. Sometimes you'll find it will be the leadership. Sometimes you'll find it will be the religious leadership. Jeremiah had to endure this. There is a battle today where God's people are going to have their nation against them, so that those who are the greatest lovers of the nation, those who are the most sincere people in praying and laboring for the advancement of the nation, will be on the receiving end of national criticism and national opposition. Believe me, it's only starting. It's only starting. But through it all, we have got to seek to establish a testimony for the Lord and the glory of His name in all the conflict. I think we would do well to keep that in mind in all our conflicts. Churches sometimes can get into the business of protesting and love protesting so much that they do nothing else but protest for the sake of protest. I know one church leader in a foreign country, and to be quite honest, he's got so much into the business of fighting that he feels he's failing God unless he's fighting somebody. And when he can't find apostates to fight, he finds other believers to fight. And he's never doing anything else but writing to tear the heart out of somebody's ministry somewhere. The man loves to fight. There's something wrong with that. In all our battling, we have to maintain the testimony of Christ and the glory of His name. I have quoted more than once old Talmage Spence's way of putting it. I think he has put it as succinctly and sweetly as anybody. We have got to be militant against the apostasy, but at the same time, we must be magnificent for the Lord. There was a man in ancient church history by the name of Athanasius. If you don't know his name, I hope that you'll now learn it and never forget it. We owe a lot to Athanasius. There is what is known as the Athanasian Creed. It is really a statement of Trinitarian orthodoxy. In a day when Arianism had spread its poison, and it had even reached right through the church, and it had got to such a stage that the Roman emperor, so-called Christian emperor, was espousing it, and Athanasius was thrown out of his church. He was persecuted, he was exiled, he was threatened. Death stared him in the face. He was constantly battling. Athanasius seemed to be one man against the world. In fact, there was a saying that has come right down from those days through church history. Athanasius contra mundum. Athanasius against the world. I think that's a good testimony. Athanasius against the world. His position was, though I be the only man, and of course he wasn't. God never allows it to get that far. He is always the 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. But though I be the only man, let it be, I will, by the grace of God, maintain a testimony for Christ, whatever the cost. The believer's conflict.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.